sky for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesty above the blue day.
Well, this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line one of my favorite guests, and I know probably one of yours as well. His name is Henry Lamb, and he's from Hollow Rock, Tennessee. Hi, Henry. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. The weather's beautiful. The sun is shining. Spring is here. And, it's good to be alive. Tell us some of the things. Now, Henry certainly works on the environmental issues. And then, of course, how these impact on this move towards world government. And he's there in Washington, D.C. a great deal of the time working with groups trying to influence the legislation. So, Henry, why don't you sort of bring us up to date with what you see going on?
Well, there's a lot going on in this world right now, of course, much at the international level. There's an awful lot of mischief going on in Washington, D.C. at the domestic level as well. This is a time when we're all glued to the television set to see what the next thing is going to be in Iraq. But while this is going on, there are many forces in Washington who are pushing for legislation that will be very, very detrimental to this country. One of the things that has happened recently, Dr. Stan, that is quite disappointing is the loss of another opportunity to expand our domestic energy resources. The vote on drilling in Anwar was defeated just this week by a vote of 51-48, I believe it was. Three Republicans abandoned ship and joined the Democrats, and once again we are prevented from using our own resources and are forced to continue using oil from Iraq.
Henry, why would this be? I mean, certainly the Eskimos up there want the drilling. It gives them jobs. The people of Alaska want this. Senator Stevens has been in favor of this. And this is not going to hurt the reindeer. The reindeer love those nice water pipes up there. I mean, this whole thing is a scam. So what's really behind this?
Well, I think the bottom line is, for many of the people who voted against it, and I'm talking about the entire Democratic side of the Senate, plus Lincoln Chafee and Senator Snow, who are Republicans who voted against it as well, they are so indebted to the institutionalized green movement in this country that they dare not betray the friendship of the environmental organizations. Whether they depend upon these organizations for their campaign funds or for their votes, whatever the reason, they are so indebted to them that they would rather force this country to be dependent on foreign sources for our energy than to become energy self-sufficient.
Well, I hope that people will remember that in November of next year, at least those are coming up for election.
It is exceedingly important. There's a couple of other issues in that same vein. Congressman Andrews from New Jersey, of all places, has introduced a bill to make the Wildlands Project the law of the land. And this Wildlands Project that we've talked about many times before on your program is the plan the radical plan to convert half the country to wilderness that's off limits to human beings and surround those wilderness areas with corridors and buffer zones managed by the government, which ultimately forces people to live in what's called sustainable communities. That's communities that's bounded by smart growth boundaries. This is the transformation of this country. And now there is legislation introduced in Congress to make this the law of the land.
And this would really force people off of their rural land, would take half the land and put it into wilderness area, another quarter where the land would be in border areas. And then, of course, everybody else would be controlled. This is the most draconian legislation going back to the Biodiversity Treaty, which the Senate rejected. Do you think there's any possibility that our senators would betray the population and pass something like this?
Why, certainly. I think that in this particular session of Congress, in the House anyway, simply because Richard Pombo happens to be chairman of the House Resources Committee, this bill will not pass during this session of Congress. But now keep in mind, the Wilderness Act of 1964 was introduced in three different Congresses over a period of 5 years before it was enacted back in 1964. This bill will be introduced again and again and again unless we bury it so deep this time that it doesn't come up for air again.
All right, fine. Well, I fear that this may very, very well be the case. And so anyway, of course, our guest today is Henry Lamb. We're talking really about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and how a small group of very, very wicked people working within the environmental movement, not representing any concern about the environment, but representing special interests, are using this project, this program, to change America. Because it's really, somebody once said that the environmental movement was like a watermelon. It was green on the outside, it's very green on the inside, pardon me, green on the outside, but red on the inside. And it really has to do with taking away all freedom in the name of environmentalism. And people say that could never happen here. And yet, step by step, increment by increment, that's exactly what's going on, isn't it?
It's happening every day all around us in a multitude of ways.
All right, we're going to have to just interrupt you there. We're going to have to take a momentary break. And then when we get back, of course, we're going to cover more of this. And our special guest today is Mr. Henry Lamb. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest today, Henry Lamb. And we're talking about, of course, how the environmental movement is being utilized to change America forever. And while our boys are fighting overseas, as so often happens, why we are progressively losing our freedom here at home. So, Henry, of course, they're introducing the legislation for the Wildland Project. Does it have much support there in the legislatures?
Not yet. There's, I think, three co-sponsors at the moment, but it was just introduced a week or so ago. It will generate a lot of support. If a vote were called today, it would have at least 150 votes on the Democratic side.
All right, fine. And what about the Republicans? Are there some of the Republicans who would go along with it?
Yes, unfortunately, there are some Republicans who have bought into this environmental scheme, who see nothing in the world wrong with the government owning every square inch of land in the world and controlling every square inch of land in this country. And that's a problem. That's a major problem. We really have to get new people in Congress.
And of course, what people don't understand is that without property rights, there are no human rights, there's no individual freedom. You will never see the words life and liberty mentioned in the Constitution without the associated word property, because our founding fathers understood the importance of private property. And yet, of course, we've elected Marxists, hardline socialists in both the Republican and the Democrat Party. And the trouble is that so many of our people don't even understand what it's all about. And they really think this has to do with the environment and the spotted owl and the marbled marlin and the red-legged frog or whatever it would be. It has nothing to do with these things, does it really, Henry?
Not at all. You have to hand it to the environmental organizations and their PR machinery. They have done an excellent job promoting the idea that we have to protect our land and our resources and our open spaces for wildlife and for future generations. And what that means is simply we have to give government control of the land and the resources for the future. We're not saving anything for the future. We are preventing our future, our children and our grandchildren, from having access to the sources of wealth.
Amen to that. And so basically now, of course, there's other problems that are coming up that we've talked about. And it's not only simply on the environmental front, but this whole framework of society seems to be tottering as the United Nations, the status of the United Nations is changing, and really for well over 50 years, 55 years, 58 years now, since the original United Nations was created in San Francisco. And of course, that has been the major thrust of both political parties, is to bring about this sort of a world government, this new world order, this new world religion. And then suddenly, just within the last few weeks, suddenly, all these years, 58 years of bipartisan efforts to relinquish American sovereignty and change power over, transfer the authority over our people to an international body, all of this has suddenly changed. What's going on?
Well, many people are seeing for the very first time the dangers posed by the United Nations through their system of global governance. You know, many of us, for years, have tried to warn of the dangers collecting in this center of power that we call the United Nations. But just with this administration, if you will recall, when George Bush withdrew from the Kyoto Protocol, that was really the first international treaty that we did not embrace. I'm talking about environmental treaties. We didn't know, George Bush did not embrace this treaty. The Clinton-Gore administration was primarily responsible for it. But we began to back out because this administration and many senators and congressmen saw the dangers there. And then we walked out of the International Criminal Court, and George Bush withdrew Bill Clinton's signature from that document. And then we walked out of the Human Rights Conference in Durban, South Africa. We began seeing, as a nation, some of the dangers that a few of us have been preaching about for years. Now, this business with Iraq has forced the United States and the United Nations to expose the collision course that has been coming for a long time. And the collision really occurred on March 17th, when George Bush and Tony Blair and the Prime Minister of Spain met and said the diplomacy window is now shut. We will not listen any longer to France and Germany and Russia and all of this endless garbage that the Security Council had been debating for the last 4 months, and began acting as has been labeled unilaterally, which is not unilaterally at all. We have 47 nations in this coalition now. There were only 28 nations in the coalition in 1991. Nevertheless, acting without the blessing of the United Nations, we really have stirred up a hornet's nest.
All right. And, of course, what we've really said is we're going to go independent. We're not going to go along with this world government. Now, I personally oppose this idea of world government, because world government means the loss of our freedom, and we would have the same freedoms in America as exist in most other countries that are members of the United Nations. You have to realize that the majority of the countries in the world are dictatorships of one form or another. And if we transfer our sovereignty to the United Nations, then we will have the same freedom here that exists in Cuba and China and in South Vietnam and North Korea. And why should we complain about it? We've given up our national sovereignty. And suddenly now we've taken a step back from the brink of that, and but of course at the expense of going to war.
Well, it is what it took to get the United States to part company with the United Nations. Whether that lasts or not is exceedingly important. If you have been watching events at the United Nations very closely this week, and particularly today, you see the United Nations' true colors. Now, I have been amazed this week with all of the reporting of the events in Iraq. I have heard of the atrocities of Saddam Hussein, but we have seen reported by independent journalists all week long this tyrant over there use his own citizens as human shields, execute our prisoners of war summarily, an array of atrocities. But what did Kofi Annan say today? What he totally ignored all of the atrocities that are taking place by the Iraqis, and instead he condemned the explosions that took place in a marketplace that may or may not have been our misguided missiles, but he totally ignored what Saddam has been doing for years to condemn the United States.
But, of course, these people from throughout the world have always hated the United States. They've taken our money. And, of course, this has been so short-sighted on the part of our leaders because we have put up 40% of the money there for many years, and we provide whenever they need a military force. It's our military force. The United States has been the driving force behind the United Nations, forcing other nations to go into this, and of course, with this idea eventually of a world currency, eventually of a world court and a world army, and certainly a world legislature and a world bank. Everything, of course, will be under international control. And you know, we forced the other countries to go along with it, and suddenly we're saying, we're not going to go along with it any longer. Now, it really doesn't make sense. Why would we turn against what we've been supporting for so long?
Well, I think it's a different philosophy. Finally, there's only been two administrations in my memory since Roosevelt first started the United Nations that was opposed in any way to the United Nations, and that was the Reagan administration and possibly this administration. It's still too early to tell whether or not we truly are going to part company and build our own international relationships outside the framework of the United Nations.
But this is so revolutionary that if you told me this 3 months ago, I'd say this couldn't happen. And yet, suddenly we've seen a total transformation of American foreign policy. And we're talking about within the last month that has undone everything that our leaders before had been pushing. And I'm not necessarily saying what we were doing before was right. In fact, I objected to it. But really, we're seeing the world change before our very eyes. I don't think most people realize the significance of what's happened.
I'm sure they don't. But it is truly perhaps the most significant event historically since the United Nations was created. And I really think it is because some of our leaders did begin to see the great danger of submitting to an external power. The International Criminal Court is going to be a classic example because it is a certainty that George Bush, Colin Powell, Rumsfeld, many of our generals are going to be identified as war criminals by the International Criminal Court. We are going to have to confront that issue, and it will be in the not-too-distant future, and this will be a make or break if we let any of our people be prosecuted by an international court, we no longer will be a sovereign nation.
I think you're absolutely right. And ladies and gentlemen, what's happened now, you've suddenly broken the world into two major blocks. One, with Russia and Europe and other nations, the United Nations on one side, and now America and its friends on the other. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes with our special guest, Henry Lamb from Echo, from Hollow Rock, Tennessee. Echo Logic. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there was the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of things that we have, and I think at times like this, you really need to think very seriously about having some sort of a water filter, because, you know, if we do have a crisis in this country or the actions are taken to interfere with the water supply, what would you do? Well, one of the things you could do is have on hand a big working water filter. It's the most economic water filter you can buy. The ceramic filters can be re-cleaned up to 100 times. It's convenient because it sets up in minutes without any need for plumbing tools or electricity. It's powerful. The big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium. It reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and odors, and it's so powerful it can easily filter raw and treated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant, it's highly polished stainless steel, will complement your decor, it's flexible, can be moved any place you want, and ordinarily these are $279, but they're available from Radio Liberty for $239, $10 shipping, but of course if you get them from Radio Liberty, why, you'll get with that a free video or 4 tape set that we produce. Now, you have to understand these are available in every state except for California and Iowa, but there is something available available in all states but Iowa, and that is the Berkey Light, and that's a clear plastic. It works exactly the same. The filters really are even stronger than in the big Berkey, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. And the Berkey Light, you can get it with lights, which is about $60 more expensive, or you can simply get the Berkey Light, and of course with the special Berkey Black filters, and this is $199. It's $199, and if you live in California, of course, you can order that, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can see pictures of them, but if you'd like to get them and you really need something like this, give us a call. And then, of course, if you'd like to get other supplies, because I believe we really are moving into some difficult times, and I hope and pray I'm wrong, but everything suggests that, and Tom Reed and the people in FEMA keep telling us there's going to be problems, and, well, what do they know we don't know? If you need food supplies, if you need all of the other things that you would need in case there was a beginning breakdown in our society, give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Ready Reserve food catalog. We'll send you one free of charge, and if you find things there that you want, you fax it back to us. We see that you get it. That's the Ready Reserve food catalog. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's far better to be prepared for crises and not need them than not to be prepared and need them, because at that time, there is no way you're going to be able to get them. Give us a call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our special guest this afternoon is Henry Lamb from Echologic. Henry, would you like to tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry?
The easiest way is to use the web. Our web address is freedom.org. Very easy to remember, freedom.org. And people can reach us by mail simply by writing ECO, E-C-O, Hollow Rock, Tennessee, 38342.
Hollow Rock, Tennessee, ECO, Hollow Rock, Tennessee, 38342?
That's it.
All right, fine. And Henry puts out a beautiful, beautiful magazine. It comes out, what, about quarterly?
Yes.
And it really keeps you on the cutting edge of what's going on. And let me tell you that there's an organized effort to utilize the environmental issue to take away our freedom. And they're winning. They're, I mean, time and time and time again, they're getting the new legislation through. And with each new piece of legislation, we lose just a little bit more freedom until eventually, you know, there will be no freedom left. This is being financed, what most people don't understand, by our great tax-exempt foundations. It's being financed by many of our great corporations. Why would they want to finance something like that? It's being financed by our government, and they're using the environmental movement to push an agenda. I think most of us are environmentalists, but we certainly don't want to see the sort of legislation being passed that is being passed. And I can remember years ago when they were talking about air pollution, but they did absolutely nothing about the diesels. And anybody who talked about the diesels was ridiculed and laughed at, why you don't understand smog. And then once they had all these other legislations, pieces of legislation in passed, they suddenly said, oh, why, the diesels are producing half of the pollution. Well, they always were. They were the major cause. But, of course, they ridiculed those of us who tried to point that out. Why? Because they wanted a problem, because they wanted the solution. They wanted to frame it. Had you run into that?
Oh, yes. It is, you know, a typical tactic of the environmental organizations to create a problem, whether it exists or not, and then ask for money from people like us and the federal government to find a solution. And there's never a shortage of problems. If there is not a problem, they simply manufacture one.
And they've done that so effectively through the years. And, of course, this ring is really being coordinated, not simply here in the United States. It's being coordinated on a world stage. And, of course, the United Nations has been working right along with that.
Oh, yes. The United Nations is the instrument used by non-government organizations to legitimize and codify the policies that these organizations wish to have imposed upon us in order to force us to live the way they think we should live.
But that really means every aspect of human life being controlled. I mean, there will be no freedom of motion, no freedom of speech, no freedom of any sort. We're talking about an authoritarian dictatorship. Do you think that's why Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, the former head of the Soviet secret police, the former butcher of Afghanistan during the Afghan War, do you think that's why he's so much in favor of environmentalism and working so closely with the United Nations?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about that. The environment, the entire environmental movement from an international perspective is simply an excuse to justify the implementation of global governance. And if you will recall, the day that Gorbachev stepped down from his position in the Soviet Union, he took up a position at the top of the heap of the radical environmental organizations, creating the Green Cross, going to work with Maurice Strong in the development of the Earth Charter. And he, to this day, that is his reason for living, is to ride the wave of environmentalism to his position in the global hierarchy of global governance.
Isn't it interesting that he has, of course, offices up there and dominates the Presidio in San Francisco? You and I, as American citizens, loyal Americans, we couldn't get space up there. That seems to be reserved for Gorbachev and his friends. Why would that be? Why would they get special treatment from the hierarchy that controls both of our political parties?
The Tides Foundation is the landlords up there anymore, and they are a peculiar not-for-profit organization, a foundation, if you will, that gets money from the government and other foundations, such as Pew Charitable Trust and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Trust and all of these foundations. And then the Tides Foundation, funnels money to these smaller organizations out here who are raising so much cane with so much radical environmentalism.
And I think that if you begin to study the environmental movement, you begin to realize there's a force behind that. And that there's a spiritual force behind it. In fact, even up there at the Presidio, there are a number of organizations that not so much about environment, but about spiritualism, a new spiritualism, a new world religion, which has replaced these archaic ideas of Christianity and Judaism, and even the Mohammedan religion would be right back here.
Absolutely. It is that.
We're going to have to interrupt.
Okay.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Remember, Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor when Bill Clinton was a student at Georgetown University. The Anglo-American Establishment really is one of the most important books in the world today. Now, let me just point out that if there were to be a nuclear explosion, one of the things, of course, they've issued to the military is something called potassium iodate, and we have available to you, if you'd like to get it, exactly the same thing that is issued to the military, and of course, you take that to protect your thyroid in case of a thermonuclear blast. And so if you'd like to find out about getting potassium iodate to protect yourself and your family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, there are 200 tablets to a bottle, and adult takes two a day, a child takes one a day. Well, we also want to mention that one of the things we carry at Radio Liberty is something called Miracle 2 soap products. And when I was an orthopedic surgeon, I never thought we'd end up selling soap, but it really is an amazing, amazing product. Now, we can't make any claims for it, but we can tell you that the people who use the products just love them. And we've heard some amazing, amazing stories from people who've had all sorts of problems, and they've used these products, and they feel so dramatically better. They're Miracle 2. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion, and a gel, and then a neutralizer. It's a very alkaline solution. Many people take it because it helps them to control their heartburn. Anyway, if you'd like to get an introductory set of these various products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And just ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. I will tell you that when we first started providing them here at Radio Liberty, you know, I thought it was, well, there may be a few people who want them, but this is one of the major things we're moving today, and most of the orders are from people who have used them before. Give us a call right now for Miracle 2. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Henry Lamb, and we're talking about, of course, the problems that we have today, how the environmental movement, the people in it, are going to continue working, and while our attention is focused overseas, we will be losing our freedom here at home. And that's always the way it is. It seems whenever American boys go overseas to fight for freedom, why we lose freedom here. That's what happened in Vietnam. In fact, that was really one of the major reasons for Vietnam. If you read what the other side said, and of course, McGeorge Bundy, writing in Foreign Affairs magazine in January of 1967, said it would be an act of folly for any true liberal to say we must choose between guns and butter, between a full budgetary support for our domestic programs and persistence in Vietnam, for exactly the opposite is the case. Anyone who is a true liberal, who believes in the great new departures in health and education and welfare, and he was talking about socialism, the great society, he said they shouldn't strengthen the hand of our opposition by saying we ought to get out of Vietnam, for exactly the opposite is the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam, and a pullout in Vietnam would lead to a strong reaction against our domestic programs. In other words, we're going to socialize America. We're going to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. We're going to take prayer and God out of schools and find the right for abortion. We're going to have socialized medicine. We're going to have massive government programs of all sorts and centralize all power with an authoritarian rule while everybody's watching what's happening overseas. Well, it's been done before, and of course, tragically, I fear that if the American people are not wary, the same things will happen again. Our telephone number here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, and out across the world, right across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Henry Lamb of Echologic, and of course, certainly one of the best informed people about what's really going on in the environmental movement and how it's impacting on our life today. Well, Henry, what can the average individual out there do when we tell him all these things that are happening, and he has no idea even what the legislation is, and of course, you know, they don't even want us to know how their congressmen and congresswomen vote on these issues, and certainly they, in fact, that was one of those stipulations in the McCain-Feingold bill was, if you were supporting these people, you were a tax-exempt organization or had certain provisions, you couldn't let anybody know within 60 days of an election what your congressman's voting record was. That was really more to control access to information than having anything to do with money.
Well, that's true. But you ask what people can do. The first thing that people must do is get informed. And never before has it been so easy to be informed. For example, on our website, we have every day, we have a list of good bills and bad bills that people can just simply click on the bills and read the bills themselves. But we have analyses and find out how your elected officials vote or intend to vote on these bills. Make sure that your elected officials know how you want them to vote. This is probably the easiest time in my lifetime to gather information and to react positively on the basis of that information.
The Internet really is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, we've got Bob calling from Santa Cruz. Bob, did you have a question or comment?
Well, you decide. Here it is. George W. Bush's administration has been using the idea that Iraqi tactics of battle treachery are against international law.
Well, we're talking about the environment. What was the point you wanted to make?
You're talking about globalization and global governance and the like and international law. Well, I find it interesting that George W. Bush's henchpersons would use the concept that Iraqi tactics of false surrender and the like are against international law.
All right,
comments
fine.
Comments along that line?
Beg pardon?
Any comments?
Well, I think that certainly there are traditional battles. You know, if you pretend that you're surrendering and then you shoot the people who come up there, I don't think that I think that what that does is means that when the next group of people want to surrender, you go ahead and shoot them, or you have people dressed as, you know, as Iraqi civilians and our people come by and they're shot out. It means, of course, what happens, war is a terrible thing. And then our troops are going to have to start shooting civilians because they don't know whether they're Iraqi soldiers or not. War is hell. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would agree that the Vietnamese used treacherous tactics to win. But what strikes me as being very hypocritical in a double standard sense is that America refused to go along with the UN's international law agreements regarding the Iraqi attack. But they'll use this international law premise to defend against the Iraqi tactics of treachery.
All right, fine. Bob, we're really talking about the environment, but I appreciate so much your call. Let's go to Fred. Fred?
Yes, I would like to know why in this day and age the NGOs have so much power now, like the Pew Trust and the there's millions of NGOs outfits that are—it seems like they're almost running government now.
They certainly are. The answer, in a word, is money. The Nature Conservancy, during a five-year period between 1997 and 2001, got $147 million from our federal government in the form of grants, plus another $140 million. In contract fees and profits from the sale of land, plus a healthy part of $842 million from the Global Environment Facility. our tax money going to these NGOs to do us in.
It sure seems a shame that we've got to finance our own downfall.
Well, we don't have to. It's simply that we are doing it, and it's happening because the good people are doing nothing. Or, of course, when you talk about one issue, somebody wants to come in and talk about another. This is such an important issue. Certainly, the war is an important issue, but this is an issue that's going to affect every individual in America, because the environmental movement is being used to take away our freedom.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, Fred. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you want to talk about the war, you can call on one of the other programs when we're talking about it, but try to stay with the topic. We have Mr. Henry Lamb here, and we certainly want to get the information that he has about the environmental movement. Now, Henry, of course, I think really you're absolutely right. With the advent of the Internet, people can really go to your website, which is freedom.org, and get the information. But how do we motivate the people? Most people, if they are interested in anything at all, are interested in the war, and that's what they're going to be watching, the progress of the war, rather than the loss of freedom here at home through this legislation, which is being, and I'm sure they're going to do everything they can to get this through illegally. I remember when they had the desertification bill, and that was really one of the most important pieces of legislation ever passed by our government. It was a desertification treaty, so it went through the Senate, and it required, you know, a two-thirds vote. So would you like to tell the story of how they got that legislation through?
Well, it was very sneaky. It was at the end of a session, and when congressmen were eager to get home, it came out of a committee in a package of 34 treaties that supposedly had been reviewed by the committee and was to be passed by unanimous consent. And it was, in fact.
But nobody ever told them that the desertification treaty gave the United Nations control of 70% of the arable land in the United States and throughout the world.
Well, it is the responsibility of our senators to know what it is they're voting for, but the sad reality is that quite often they don't. They rely on a committee staff person to say that this bill is okay or it's not okay, and they don't read what it is that they're voting on quite often. And in the case of the desertification treaty, they had no idea what was in that treaty.
Well, why did Senator Helms pass that?
I can't answer that. Senator Helms has been a champion of national sovereignty, of private property, and individual rights. But in the last year or two of his tenure, you are well aware that he was quite ill. He had some people on his staff that I believe were not in total sympathy with Jesse's philosophy. I just don't know why he allowed it to happen.
Because that was his primary responsibility.
Yes.
And the implications of this, could you explain to our listeners what the implications of this treaty were? That you're never going to hear about this any other place, but what did the desertification treaty really do?
The desertification treaty allows an agency of the United Nations to claim jurisdiction over the use of 70% of the total land area in the world. About, I think it's 17 states in the United States are subject to the desertification treaty. All of the Southwest and the Midwest. It's not just dry sand desert, but land that the United Nations designates that may become a desert unless certain land use practices are implemented.
And they will determine what should be done, and then they will pass the message down through our federal government to the state and then the local government, which will be expected to enact the legislation that is being recommended from above?
That's exactly the way it works.
Now, how could that have been passed without anybody knowing about it?
Well, somebody knew about it, but not enough senators knew about it, because some staffer on a committee reviewed the legislation and said, no, it doesn't require any additional funding. It doesn't require any immediate legislation.
And I remember you telling about how you went to one of the senators and asked him about it, and he said, I never voted for that.
That's absolutely right. We were in, I believe it was Bonn, or it was in Europe somewhere, at a United Nations meeting, and that senator happened to be there. And I asked him, and he said he did not vote for it, but his staffer tugged at his shirt sleeve and said, excuse me, Senator, but yes, you did. It was passed by unanimous consent.
But of course, as long as the American people don't know about it, nobody's going to be upset at the incompetence of these men who'd be more concerned about whether we call them French fries or freedom fries than whether they're voting away our freedom.
That's sadly, that's true.
Well, Henry, you know, the things that are going on today, I mean, this new effort to enact the Wilderness Act across America, which will take half of the land of the United States and put it into wilderness areas, and nobody will be able to get there. I suppose the elite will be able to get in, but or maybe it can be used for other purposes, but certainly it will not be available to any law-abiding American citizen. And then a quarter of the land will be in border areas. And what does that entail? The 25% that's in a border area, can people live there?
With under certain circumstances. The first consideration for these buffer zones is that it is managed for conservation objectives. These are the areas where public-private partnerships may be allowed to do certain kinds of farming. It will be where certain kinds of production may be allowed. But it is the point is that it is government control. It is government decides what can happen there, not the private landowner.
All right, fine. So basically then, three-quarters of the land will be under total government control. And then, and that's the entire land of the United States. And then, of course, 25% of the people will live in, but won't they be forced into so-called sustainable communities?
Yes, and for all practical purposes, government control there, where growth management plans, urban boundaries, smart growth plans limit the use of land to what the government dictates. The idea of private property ownership and use of private property is almost an obsolete concept. Many of the environmental organizations consider private property to be an obstacle to progress.
Well, I think that people really have to understand what this is about. Now, can people learn about this up on your website?
Oh, absolutely. We publish online every 2 weeks, twice a month. We publish a massive issue of Ecologic that contains detailed information, well-researched and documented information on virtually all of these issues. We have a 10-year archive of material, thousands of columns, thousands of articles, and special reports that are available on almost any of these topics that we talk about.
And I recommend that to you. That's freedom.org. Go there. We have a sustainable development syllabus where we've summarized something known as the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is really the Mein Kampf of this. It's 1,152-page document published by Cambridge University Press, and you can get that if you go to your bookstore and specifically ask for it. That's where I got my copy. But we've summarized it down to about 40 pages, and they tell you exactly what they intend to do. But, of course, there are a lot of other things that they're talking about along with that, like the real threat to the world and the environment is those monotheistic religions like Christianity and Judaism and the Mohammedan religion. And really, of course, it would be so much better if we just got back to the world as it was before the wicked white man came. And there's so many people, and that's the real problem. And these people seem to have a different agenda. They seem to have a different worldview, don't they, Henry?
Oh, absolutely they do. And that the document you're talking about, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, Section 13 is the section that describes this wildlands project that we're talking about. And you can get as much detail as you want out of that section. But you're right. The underlying philosophy, or theolosophy, if you will, under this whole concept, says that every species has equal intrinsic value. Human beings are no more valuable than a cockroach or an HIV virus.
Or rock, too. Don't forget the rocks.
Yes. This is totally opposite from everything that the Judeo-Christian idea has embraced. Some of us believe that human beings are not only at the top of the food chain, we are our Creator's crowning jewel. But this is obscene in the minds of those people who adopt the biocentric philosophy of equal intrinsic value, which underlies the entire, which is the basis for the environmental policy that has permeated domestic policy in the last 20 years.
But it's really a different spiritual outlook, a different view of God and what God and life's all about, isn't it?
Sure it is.
Well, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been Henry Lamb of Ecologic, and you can write to him at Hollow Rock, Tennessee, Ecologic. And you can also, of course, write to go to their website, freedom.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Henry.
It's always my pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, why, you really should seriously consider getting a Phenopoly set. Phenopoly is a program. It's a board game. It's 5 board games and 2 bonus games, but it plays just like Monopoly, and you have dice and you go around a board. But in the process, of course, you learn the various sounds. There are 40 sounds in the English language, and there are 12 basic rules. And when you know those, why, of course, you can understand why a word is spelled as it is, and when an E sounds like an E, and when it has the alternative sound, and the same thing with an A, or when it's an A-A or an A-A or cat A-A type of an A. And really, it's a fun game. I played it. It was designed by the woman who created the phonics game, and after she sold that, she put this together because it's a fun game. Phonopoly in 16 hours can take a child that really can't read well and is maybe in the bottom 5% of the class and get them up into the top 5 or 15%, and within actually 16 to 20 hours, you can begin to reprogram your child's mind so it will work as it was meant to work. There's been a deliberate program to dumb down our children, just as there are many other programs to do our children harm. And so if you'd like to know about Phenopoly, or hopefully you want to get one, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 5 games, 2 board games, and we throw in a couple of books. And then if you'd like to get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum on 22 CDs, an education that goes from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because our children, our educational system, the very future and soul of this nation, have been under attack for many years. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you are listening to us and you think that there's a problem and you'd like to become part of our team, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach out across America 5 hours every day, getting the information you're not going to get from the controlled media. And so if you'd like to become part of our team, if you'd like to help us, why, give us a call. That's 1-800-544-8927. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes. You'll get our monthly newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. If you just give us a call, of course, some people want to call in every week and or every month and get a newsletter, and we can't afford to do that because we have no big foundations behind us. We're simply supported by people who believe in our message. But if you'd like a free newsletter and haven't had one before, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, because if you really want to understand what the war in Iraq is about, you're not going to learn about it from the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, because they're all controlled by the same people. They always have been. And if you don't believe, we have a wonderful article written by Richard Harwood, who is the ombudsman for the Washington Post, and it was in October of 1993, and he talked about how all the media was controlled by people who belong, or most of it was controlled by the people who belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. He said they don't report the news, they make it happen. And if you want a copy of his article, give us a call. We'll be glad to send it to you. That's the Richard Harwood article, 1993, October of 93, in the Washington Post. But you see, most people don't understand that the first thing they had to do to take over America and to be able to use both political parties to pursue this goal of a new world order and a new world religion was to gain control of the media. And that's why if you go to Europe, you get an entirely different slant on what's going on in America. Or you can go to, of course, many of the websites will have what's being said in the British press or the French press or the Southeast Asia press, the stories you will never see in America because they don't want you to see them. And that's how you control what the American people think. So if you'd like to, of course, help us get the truth out across America, again, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you want to go to our website. And our website is www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And there, of course, you'll be able to, of course, hear our programs 5 hours a day, 3 hours a day on Radio Liberty. There are lots of archive programs there. And then, of course, you can always a link to the American Freedom Network, that's AmericanNewsNet.com, or the Genesis Network, and hear our programs there. So we do hope that many of you will take advantage of that. You can find our newsletters there going back for many, many years. You're welcome to pull them down and copy them and distribute them and help us to get the truth out about what's really going on. The fact we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, educational battlefield. And now it's on the battlefield of the sands of Iraq. But it's behind that is a spiritual battle. And of course, behind all these plans of men, God has a plan as well. Isn't it interesting that at this time in history, suddenly the whole focus on the world is where it was, you know, back at the time when, of course, Jesus was here on the earth, certainly in the times when Abraham's people were here. Well, I believe that truly we are entering into the most tumultuous and dangerous and exciting times of our lives. And you need to understand what's going on. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers and for our men and women and for their families. And then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until next week, may the Lord be with you.